From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
So we're going to have another crack at these migration numbers, are we? Are we throwing darts at boards, or we got something a little more sophisticated now?
No, I think they are more sophisticated, Mike. We're looking at the migration numbers, which are becoming more accurate, but they're also becoming more complicated. And actually, Mike, I'm going to sit down with Stats New Zealand later on today and work through these to make sure that I do understand them correctly. Now, but this could take a while. Like provisional estimates for the year ended December 2019, which are estimates at these stage with a 95% confidence interval, the net migration gain of just under 44,000. Now, that's marginally lower than a year ago, but it's actually not going anywhere, is it, Mike? They're staying pretty stable there. If you're looking for who stands out as sources of origin for the arrivals, China, India, South Africa, they're all right at the top of the list. Seasonally adjusted for the month, just under 4,000. So if we look at the run rate, if we extrapolate that over a year, it actually that comes to slightly higher than 44,000. But Mike, what I'm battling a little bit with is what's going on in the background. So as far as I can see, I look forward to being corrected on this. In 2009, 60% of arrivals were on temporary visas, which is strange, isn't it? They're on temporary work visas, student visas, or temporary visitor visas. So presumably, you know, the students leave at the end of the study. But what happens with people on the temporary work visas? What happens when that expires? What's the conversion rate to residency, to permanent residency? And what's happening with that workflow management? Do we do the temporary visa and then we will start it all over again and do the permanent visa? So there's an interesting question there. Are we just kicking that can down the road? Also in the background, Mike, there's this thing called the New Zealand Residence Program Planning Range. This is a government, this is within government. This is what is the range that we target in terms of the number of migrants coming in. Now, the interesting thing about this, Mike, it expired at the end of last year. So one assumes that has to be renegotiated or there has to be a new approach. And that should be an interesting debate, I would have thought, between Labour and New Zealand First, as it was a key source of difference between them at the last election. So we've got this huge spike in the use of temporary work visas. We need to understand that a little bit more fully. And hopefully I'll be know a lot more later.
Well, I can see why you're going to spend Tuesday morning with some cream buns at the Stats Department then.
There you go.
Okay, so 275 for the hold in the HSB.
Oh.
So 275, do I put 275,000 into blue chips or an HSV?
Oh, look, well, I don't want to say because I am a financial advisor, but gee, those Commodores are looking appealing out. They might stand aside Elton John, stand aside New Zealand First funding issues. This is an end of popular culture in New Zealand. This will be a benchmarker when people do future sociological studies of 20th and 21st century New Zealand, the death of Holden. Now, Mike, I'm not a car guy, right? But was there ever a brand name more evocative of the motor vehicle industry, the motor racing industry in Australasia than Holden? Now, I don't really know the answer to that question, Mike, and it actually reminds me of the time in 1984 I got stuck in the middle of a debate in the Kumia Tavern on which X brand was the best. But look, people must remember the ubiquitous Holden Kingswood bench seats, column shifts. I'm a Westie boy, Mike, and forget the Europeans. Back in the 1970s and the 1980s, you'd made it if you had a V8 Commodore, wouldn't you? I mean, then GM has announced that sales, design and engineering operations will finish up in Australia by 2021. So ends 160 years of history. They were a saddle maker in South Australia in the late 1800s. 1948, the first all-Australian car. 1958, more than 50% of market share in Australia was Holden. It's not unexpected. In December, they killed off the Commodore. But they were selling, Mike, in 1998, they sold almost 220,000 Commodores. In the background here, Mike, interesting statements from GM. They don't want to make right-hand drive cars. Well, what happens when the other car makers don't want to make right-hand drive cars anymore?
Very good point.
Where does that leave?
Well, the bulk of the world, of course, is left-hand drive. There's no question about that. My nana had a Viva. And my granddad had a Kingswood, and that was the greatest garage for a kid visiting.
We had a Viva and a Kingswood.
There you go.
I was never allowed to drive the Kingswood.
Good on you. I stole it. What are the numbers?
Well, at President's Day in the US, so the US market's unchanged, 29398 on the Dow Jones, 3380 on the S&P 500, 9731 on the NASDAQ. The FTSE 100, though, gained 27,7436. The Nikkei, 23,523. That was down 164. And nice pop higher in the Shanghai Composite, actually, closing at 2983, up 66 or 2.28%. The ASX 200 lost 5 yesterday, 7125, and the little Kiwi market, we gained 39 points, up 0.33%. The NZX 50 closing at 11,874. On the currencies, one New Zealand dollar in the wholesale markets will buy you 0.6436 US, 0.9582 Aussie, 0.5940 Euro, 0.4947 pounds, 70.74 yen. Gold, $1,581.95, and Brent crude, $57.35.
Have a great day, mate. JMIWealth.co.nz.